dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, an English Premier League podcast hosted by four Americans. Tonight, we've actually got five. Peter's joining us for our World Cup preview episode, our last episode before the World Cup starts this coming Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox. Shay's getting a little hype in the background here. We've got Shay and Jacob here in D.C. We've got Peter somewhere else in D.C.
Right.
Can't look us in the eyes, apparently. And then Miles down in Argentina. How's everybody doing tonight?
What up?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Got World Cup fever.
Yeah,
it's at 10 right
days.
Now. It's crazy.
We got 3 days, gentlemen. Three days.
It didn't hit me until like this weekend when there's so much content on like Fox. I saw this documentary where they interviewed previous World Cup winners going back to like the 80s. And I was just like, I'm back into it.
It's getting good. It's everywhere.
I implore everyone to go read those 442 magazines or any of those like play reviews or team reviews. I love those.
Yeah.
They make my day.
Shay, we're really counting on you this coming week and in the coming weeks to be our eyes, our ears and eyes in Russia. You're packing up soon,
feet.
Right?
I'll be your feet because they may ask me to come on the field.
I don't want any part of those feet, dude. No part of those
I'll
feet.
I'll be your feet. I've never
Shay's
heard of
it. They may ask me, touched me before the podcast. I was just disgusted. The flat part of his foot kind of rubbed above me. It was like a palm, a sweaty palm.
It's like Space Jam when they touch the ball. And it's all the
I get your
ability.
Powers?
You get my
or
powers.
Or you steal my powers. That's how it is.
It's a little odd because I would think you're the only one who really podcasts barefoot, unless Miles and Peter are like naked over there. On the other end of the line.
It's a conversation maybe for another time. Podcast apparel.
Did you guys hear that actually, before we get into this week's show, I heard that the VAR referees at the World Cup this year will be wearing full kits,
full referee kits. They're full kit wankers.
They're wearing the full ref jersey, shorts, and socks.
Wow. This is VAR?
They got to be ready to run out onto the field, I guess. I don't know.
I like it.
So they can't take their shoes off.
Yeah, they can't pull a Shay and just sit barefoot in the VR booth. So again, guys, the World Cup is on Fox Sports. If you haven't started requesting time off, now is the time to do it. In addition to the World Cup starting, the Premier League also threw out some random news saying that they're announcing the fixtures for next season.
Yep.
On Thursday, on the day the World Cup starts. So you're just kind of like, what are these guys doing here?
They're trying to steal the thunder.
It's not going to work.
Don't be that person who's trying to steal the moment.
I'm trying to stay relevant during the World Cup. Like, come on. Like, you can't compete with the World Cup right now. So just wait.
Yeah.
And I mean, what's the big surprise? Everyone knows that everyone has to play each other in the Premier League.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for the day.
Two times.
Like, there's no surprise fixtures in the Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, hey, maybe we can plan our next ABTP trip, though, when we get those dates. You know?
Hey. Yeah, we could do that.
Miles?
Miles, yeah. Peter, you guys going to join? In addition to all of this stuff happening, if you haven't already joined our FIFA Prediction League, please do. You can find that on AcrossThePond.co. It's through the FIFA platform. Make sure you make those picks. The winner will receive a World Cup kit, except Nigeria, because even Shay can't get his hands on that.
That's not true.
Oh, it's coming? Or you got one already?
Stay tuned.
No.
Shay, what happened? Don't forget me.
I didn't forget you, Miles. I didn't forget you.
Shay got the away kit, so caveat there. It's all of us. But guys, let's actually talk about the tournament itself. I think one easy place to start, and we'll get to the winners for sure. We'll be talking about that in a later segment. But I think an easy place to start here is Golden Boot. We know they're the array of talent at the World Cup this year, and we know a lot of those guys are Premier League players. Harry Kane, Aguero, Salah, a bunch of different strikers, even the terrible ones, Lukaku, they're out there. So I think we need to talk about who we think is going to be that Golden Boot winner of this tournament. I mean, it typically is the most notable individual award of the tournament. So,
but most times, it's no more than a handful of goals, five or six goals. I mean, it's harder to score in a tournament. I mean, there's a lot more tactics of play, tactical substitutions, withdrawing of players, resting of players for subsequent games. So you did mention Lukaku, and that is actually not outside the realm of possibilities. He likes to score against the minnows.
Yeah.
So I don't see, why he couldn't, put up, big numbers against Tunisia or Panama. Assume that he's starting in both of those games. But my pick is tried and tested Mario Gomez.
Gomez.
Yeah, I think there's going to be goals in that Germany team. I was very tempted. I have a Brazil-Germany final, just getting ahead of ourselves here. But it's going to be somebody who goes deep in the tournament. And he is a veteran striker who can finish in the air and I think can take advantage of some of the smaller teams and some of the mismatches.
I don't think so.
Jacob, I also have Brazil-Germany in the final. But I think this Brazil team is just so young and so talented. I really think the Golden Boot this year is going to go to Neymar because he is so instrumental in that team. Leading up to the World Cup, he scored some dirty goals already. And, he's got, free kicks.
What kind of dirty are we talking
about? Real dirty.
The dirt real dirt. Dirt.
Okay.
Real dirty goals. So I really think it's going to be Neymar. I think that Brazil squad is looking real good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a combination of you have to have, like Jacob said, they're only scoring 5 goals. So it's not many, right? So the team has to be able to go far enough in the table, right, and still be able to score a lot of goals and spread the goals evenly. So for me, naturally, I think who's a player who's really dependent on them to do well. For
Victor Moses.
Well, agreed. It has to probably be a team that at least makes the quarter semifinals. Yeah, exactly. So
for me, I had maybe Suarez.
Mm.
I didn't pick them in my league going very far, unfortunately, which is why I wish I could change it. But I had Suarez as a potential option. And then, unfortunately, Messi, right, because the team is so dependent on him. Even though they have 4 of the best strikers in the world, they're so dependent on him.
Peter, where are you taking it?
I think it's going to be Messi. I would originally say Neymar, but I think he's got a lot of pressure on him with this Argentina team, which I think is very lopsided, and they have a lot of efficiencies, but they are going to heavily rely on him, and this will likely be his last tournament, so, this could be a legacy for him.
I have a problem with picking both of them. I think there's both Neymar and
Messi.
And Messi. I think in the case of Neymar, there are just so many mouths to feed on that team that I think it's much more likely that he's playing assist maker. I mean, he'll score goals, but I think it's equally as likely that Gabriel Jesus scores more goals than Neymar. Two, I think they're going to treat him with kid gloves, particularly if they're winning by a lot, just given off of what happened in 2014, rather. And then when it comes to Messi, I just don't think that team is very good. And I think those group stage games are going to be a lot harder to score in. People are saying that is the quote-unquote group of death.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder to break down those sides and score.
Very good points. My pick is Mueller. Backing off of Jacob's rationale, I think Mueller has a chance to even break Klose's record this tournament. If he does score 6, he ties him at 16 career World Cup goals. And the guy is still very young.
If he breaks the record and Germany win, he probably gets the golden ball too.
Yeah. And
you think of what Ronaldo did in 2002.
But I do think it's interesting that none of us picked the likes of, potentially Harry Kane.
No.
Lewandowski.
No, come on.
There are other very good strikers on some teams that could make the quarterfinals.
Suarez and Cavani. Yeah,
that could clean up in the group stage. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to be the typical person we're thinking of.
That's why I went outside the box. Just want to say, Gomez does have Germany's all-time leading scorer at the European Championships. So, he has yet to score a World Cup goal, but that's why I'm going outside the box.
I don't even think he's going to start, though. I think Timo Werner will probably start ahead of him. I would have mentioned, but I didn't.
But now you mentioned him.
Yeah, he did. That's how it works.
All right, guys.
I almost wanted a mulligan, but it didn't happen.
All right, let's shift the conversation a little bit towards actual stock. We know via Soccernomics and other publications that players tend to move after World Cup years, and it's because of this, this fallacy that these players are now worth much higher. So I guess, looking at the field and looking how, some of these players will be under the microscope after this World Cup, who would you say has who's most ripe for a stock rise before the end of the tournament? you know, just before this transfer window closes.
Milan Baroš.
No, is he available? Just bring him back.
Honestly, I think one of the teams that I see going pretty far this tournament is Croatia. And I think some of those players like Perisic, Kovacic, are going to be hot items, in especially prep for some Premier League teams.
Yeah, Miles, I can't name a whole squad of players.
I named two. I think Perisic is going to rise.
I'm with you, Miles.
But Perisic, I mean, Perisic has been linked with Man U. Like,
he doesn't mean he can't, his stock can't rise. You can't ask a man a question and take it back.
That's true. I mean,
well, if I said Ronaldo, Ronaldo's stock is going to rise more because he's up for contract.
Because people were thinking he's on the downswing. He could have a fantastic World Cup and it could be up.
I guess I'm looking for players who are not necessarily linked with big clubs yet that could. So let me reframe the question. Apologies, Miles. Who has either the most to gain in terms of stock or lose the most by the end of the tournament?
This is a guy that is linked with a lot of clubs right now. Sergei Milinkovic Savic from the Serbian midfielder. I think he was probably one of the best player in Italy last season. He's a midfielder. He's a 6'4" midfielder from Lazio. He reminds me so much of Paul Pogba if Paul Pogba played in a team that built their team around him and also played well consistently for a season. I could say that as a United fan. Right now, they're saying he's worth 100 million euros. And similar in 2014, when James had a great World Cup, Madrid came in and bid for him. They will be the team that will put out a bid for him if he has a good tournament. And then the guys who I think stock will fall. This is my take would be Alisson from Brazil. I think he's an amazing goalkeeper. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying he's great. Right now, you know, Liverpool are linked with, you know, spending nearly, what, like 80 million pounds on him.
So that's
That's crazy. That is absolutely nuts.
For a goalkeeper,
if you think Brazil are gonna make it deep into the tournament, it's going to be, you know, scoring a ton of goals and just blowing teams out of the water.
Right. But I'm saying
he's
highly linked with the move, and I'm just saying that because he is one of these players that has, you know, his stock is already so high. But if he has a couple poor games, makes a couple bad, you know, mistakes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he may already be tied up before the, you know, Brazil, you know, he may get a deal done during the World Cup. For all we know.
At Batshuayi, maybe, if he starts, have a look at.
Yeah. In terms of upside?
In terms of upside, yeah.
I mean, he's trapped at Chelsea.
Exactly.
You know, was sent on loan. Conte clearly didn't rate him.
Maybe your boy from Fulham on the Serbs.
Well, Mitrovic. Well, that is the exact pick that I was going to choose. If you noticed, I mean, he's had a hat trick in their final warm up match. His stock is going to be huge if he can put away 3 or 4 goals, get Serbia firing out of the group stage. His stock is going to go up exponentially. I mean, we look at Fredrickson from Fulham, who just left to go to West Ham, and he had a contract with Fulham. Here's Mitrovic on loan at Fulham. Maybe he wants to stay and play for Slavisa. Maybe not. Maybe Newcastle and Mike Ashley are looking to offload him for big bucks back somewhere. I mean, his value could be somewhere in the range of the 35 to, I think, 45 million if he has a decent tournament, up from what I would say his market value is at around 20, 25. Yeah. That's just in my opinion.
And for a team that needs him, a club team that needs him.
Absolutely. So he is a Premier League caliber striker, and I think could start on probably any team outside the, you know, traditional top 6 or 7. You know, Everton, like, that would be really interesting. They've been struggling to have a sort of a front man in the physical mold of Lukaku. So that's someone I'm looking forward to watching.
Yeah, I'm going to probably take it. I'm going to follow this line or this trend that we've been going with front man. And because goals, I think, speak volumes. And I think one guy who scored some nice goals recently has been Shay's Nigerian boy, Iheanacho. You know, he had an excellent goal against Tottenham towards the end of the season. I think he'll put a couple in impressive ways. And I think, you know, Leicester is a pretty modest home for him. I mean, he left Man City. He's kind of forced out by Guardiola. And I think, you know, he has a chance to move to a bigger club like an Everton or, you know, even, you know, be maybe the backup to Kane at Spurs. So I'd say either Iheanacho or even Joel Campbell. I mean, we saw Joel Campbell have a pretty good World Cup. last World Cup, last run, and was also, you know, forced out of Arsenal as well. So I think those two guys are youngsters that could really land a big move out of their existing situations.
You know who I can – sorry, not to hijack this, but someone who I can see just really, really doing well this World Cup and just – I mean, I know he's already a star at Liverpool, and but he's a third option, really, Sadio Mane.
He's not for sale. I'm not letting him go.
Yeah, that, that group, I think.
But he has been linked with Madrid. But, you know, Chris, I'm going to take the opposite approach with – I'm sorry, Shade, pick on Nigeria. But I think in terms of stock going down –
every one of the team's stock is going down. Nigeria is not good.
No, I think stock going down. Honestly, like Ahmed Musa, you know, sitting on the bench at Leicester, we were all really excited about his move.
Shay was.
Know, hasn't been – I was with Shay, and he had that goal against Barcelona in their, you know, warm-up game preseason, and I think but he hasn't really done much since he's moved, and I think this is kind of the chance for him to show any suitors what he's got, but I don't see that he's really become a fixture in that squad. But I do think in terms of going up, I think, you know, everyone's looking right now at Egypt. They got one of the best strikers around playing for them, but I think a youngster that's on their squad that has recently been relegated, I think Sobhi, you know, maybe in some of those games where maybe the first game where Salah doesn't play could really show what he's got, especially since he's been, you know, he's on the market now. I think that would be a chance for Soak to get a little more money for him. He's young, you know, 21, good talent.
All right, guys. Well, make sure you keep an eye on those players. I'm surprised nobody mentioned Marouane Fellaini or any of the typical trolls, but. You know, make sure you keep an eye on those players. I think there are obviously a lot of breakout players that will emerge from the mold this summer, and they will probably make those big moves. But hopefully they don't end up at your club because, you know, a lot of these guys are flops, you know. Jovanovic.
Yeah, we know about Liverpool flops from the World
2010,
Cup,
so. Baby. All right, we'll be back after this break.
Origi. Jeez.
Guys, we're back now, guys. For the fun, World Cup unpopular opinions. You know, we've seen unpopular opinions roam through Twitter. I've even seen terrible comparison pieces. I think the most recent one I've seen was if World Cup teams were rappers. It's your boy Akwanga, Musa Akwanga.
I kind of like that. Actually,
I thought it was insufferable to read, but I mean.
Does it though?
When he's comparing it, he's comparing Holland to Rakim. I mean, I'm sorry, but like,
what?
It's just like, come on, guys. I mean, like,
damn.
We can all sit here and.
Well, I like that one. That one, I appreciate though. Sort of old school, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of nostalgia for Holland.
Exactly.
What can I say?
I'm just saying, like,
follow the leader.
I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go home and read this.
Well, all right, you guys can check it out on Twitter, but. I want to know what your guys' unpopular opinions are. I mean, we all filled out these brackets and for the Across the Pond World Cup of Prediction League that you can find on AcrossThePond.co. But, I mean, looking back on what you've thought through and what you've been thinking about, you know, what's your top unpopular opinion for this World Cup? Maybe, I mean, I can start if you guys want a little, little heat. I'm thinking Senegal wins Group H amongst Colombia, Poland, and Japan. So, and that puts them in a pretty good position to advance to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I have them go into the round of 16 as well.
The winner,
and Senegal will go through. No, as second place.
No,
that's pretty bold that they win, man. But you know what? I think honestly, that's one of the toughest groups.
Yeah. I can't. All four teams are very good in that group.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't followed Senegal, but they have like a low key really talented team individually. Like, I mean, not even including Mane, like Kalidou Koulibaly from Keita Napoli. Balde. Yeah, Keita Balde, at Monaco, Idrissa Gueye.
Yeah,
sorry,
don't forget.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, they have a squad. And they're one of the few African countries that have an African manager. So shout out to them.
Although they did draw Luxembourg 0-0.
So did France, though.
Dude, Luxembourg deploys some crazy tactics.
True, true, true.
They've got the Luxembourg's tactics, man, I'm telling you.
Honestly, my unpopular opinion, and I know we want to, I don't want to steer the listeners wrong, and I know we want to talk about the World Cup only comes up once every 4 years, but I don't think the group stage games are going to be that fun, dude.
What?
I think you are going to Russia.
I know I'm going.
That?
Yeah, hey, but listen,
you
I think.
Spoiled brat.
No, I mean, look.
Well, guys, that's all the time we have for today.
You successfully dropped the most unpopular.
I did. Well, that's why it's unpopular. If it was supposed to be popular, it would be easy to say.
That's true. It's true.
You asked the question.
You got to hand it to you.
He's right.
I'm impressed. Can you justify it?
Yeah, I just think a lot of these groups are just, you know, they're just not games that I would typically watch outside the World Cup, not countries I would follow outside the World Cup.
That is how the World Cup works.
Yes,
and it gives you a chance to see new teams.
But, like, you know, do you have any interest in seeing Tunisia or Panama? I'm not saying I haven't really watched them. I don't know how good they are.
I do have interest in Panama because they knocked out the U.S. And you know, kept them out. But I'm in the vein of what Chase said, I am with him in the regards of my unpopular opinion is there are no dark horses. There are no sleepers. This bracket is going to be chalk.
It's fixed.
It's not. It's well, fixed it's like FIFA. It might be fixed, but I agree. I look at these groups and I'm just not seeing a lot of upsets. I think you're making cases about who finishes first and second and what the group stages look like, but I just, you know, I'm not seeing Costa Rica making it,
this group
a team or a CONCACAF team making it to a quarterfinal.
Wow.
I'm not seeing a team that's not a powerhouse, not in the semis.
Exactly.
I very much feel like there's almost a retrenchment back to the 90s, 94, 86 of these classic vintage, which is why my semifinals are Brazil, Germany, Argentina, and France.
Exactly. I looked at my bracket and I had the most, like, honestly, if this was March Madness, I had the 1 and 2 seed in every group going forward.
Yeah. I all agree. I do have powerhouses in my semifinals, but I'm still a little unnervy, and I think you guys both just said a lot that we need to unpack here. So first, let's talk about Shay's.
Like,
let's talk about Shay's comments about group stage games being fun. I think that alone needs a little bit of response before we move on to Jacob's point here. So
can we make one the same? Yeah. Wasn't that point one the same?
No, it wasn't at all.
No, Shay. What Shay did was he created the Model T, and then I created, you know, a fully functioning sports car. I made a Porsche.
Okay, I'm shocked at that comment. I mean, do you not like watching
any
football at all?
No,
I don't.
Of course, but what I'm saying is that in the sense that, of course I do. But what I'm saying in the sense it's not going to be fun is because I think some of these teams are going to get thrashed. I really do. I think some of these teams are going to get thrashed, and that's not exciting to watch. I want to watch a game where it's 1-1, 2-2, everybody's in the spirit of it, and you know there could be an upset. And I don't see that with many of these groups. I mean, if Nigeria's group is a group of death, that already tells you alone that this is probably one of the weaker World Cups that we've experienced in a while.
Well, group of death,
Shay makes a good point there. And I think it kind of goes to Jacob's point as well, is that, like, you know, no one would have thought last World Cup Costa Rica was going to go far. Like, and I agree in my prediction. I also don't have any real surprises, but that's because I think it's really hard to pick those surprises. You know what I mean? If I were to be bold, I would think that, you know, one of these North African teams is going to make a run. Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, they could do much better than we think. Who would have thought Iceland was going to go far in the Euros? So there's always some team that comes out of nowhere. So I don't know where it's going to come from, but it's, you know, it's going to happen. And some of these big teams are going to flop.
So you disagree with what Jacob's saying then?
Completely. Yeah, okay. Completely. But I think it's hard to pick. I think it's hard to predict that.
Yeah.
You know?
Peter.
Well, sure. So much is dependent, you're right, on matchups and first and second. But, you know, looking at the groups, you know, I have Denmark going through. I have England finishing top of their group, which sort of changes it. I have Portugal finishing top of their group, which sort of changes some of the permutation and second round matchups. So you're right, there'll be some unexpected shocks, but I think we're going to, when all is said and done, when we get down to the semifinals, you know, you're going to be very familiar with the names and faces on the team sheets.
My unpopular opinion is it was partly predicated on the USA-France game that just happened over the weekend. And honestly, I think France will struggle breaking down teams that sit back and defend. You know, we saw in, I think it was 2006, when even though they went to the finals, they finished in second in their group and struggled in a group that they should have walked over through. And I could see either Denmark or even Australia just having a game where they sit back and France will just fail to create chances. You know, I mean, I thought that game against the U.S. team, against a U.S. team, a very young, inexperienced team with, you know, I think there was about the average
Bobby
amount
Wood
of caps.
Had the most experience in that squad.
Yeah, Bobby Wood, a player that just got relegated in the Bundesliga. Josh Sargent, a player who hasn't played a professional game. And, you know.
So, but does that mean that you think France is not going to make it out of the group or not going to make it out of
the group? No, no. I still think they'll still make it out of the group, but I think they will come in second. I think Denmark is a very talented team, and I think that they will top the group because I just think France will struggle in one of those games, either Denmark or even Peru.
Peru looks good. Peru looks good.
Yeah,
Peru's tough. They got their main boy back.
Yeah. So I think they will struggle. I still think they'll make it out of the group. And every World Cup, France, something happens with the French squad. We've noticed, explosion I just don't think Didier Deschamps is
every
that
episode
as well. Yeah,
isn't it crazy that Raymond Dominic allegedly used to kind of make his lineups by like casting die or like in astrology, and he's into some really weird things.
Guys, we got to pick our winners. You know, it's come to this point. You know, World Cup 3 days away. We've got to put our winners down. So what I want from everyone is the winner. And your one sentence, not a run-on sentence, your one tweet-length sentence that justifies your pick.
Okay, Nigeria. Let me tell you why Nigeria is good.
I see pride. I see power. No.
I already said mine is Brazil. And the one sentence I can have is just goals. I think they're going to score tons of goals.
Okay, so one word sentence. All right. I like
tons
it.
Tons of goals.
I like
it.
Exclamation, hashtag tons of goals.
Gotcha.
2K goals.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also said Brazil, and I guess I would say skill, grit, hustle, squad depth. They are balanced. Hmm. Perfectly balanced.
No originality on this podcast. Because I also had Brazil.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I say because they're hungry from last World Cup where they got thrashed by Germany. I think they do have a really balanced team. Isn't everybody is a – if I could play to FIFA, make it relative here.
This is the longest tweet. This is 180 characters.
They're all in that 85 to 88 range, minus Neymar.
That tweet would not send. Peter,
I'll
where
say,
do you want me to go?
Spain. Experience in all areas of the field. Diego Costa he's had 4 years to kind of fit and integrate. In 2014, he played like a couple games and got into that lineup. And winners everywhere. So I think Spain will.
That's also a tweet that wouldn't send, Chris.
There's some commas in there.
That might have made the 280 character limit the new one. Guys, I'm gonna say Argentina. I think.
Oh my! Get out of here.
Let me tweet.
Let me clear his
throat. Let me tweet.
Let the man tweet.
I think it is time for the goat who holds goats to win his trophy. I mean, I think it's now or never for Messi, and Ronaldo and Portugal don't have a team that's good enough to do it. So,
you know that meme of LeBron James, like
I hope you're right,
you know,
Chris,
with J.R. Smith, like complain, you know, when he messed up. I think there's going to be a Messi moment with, like, Lucas Biglia or something just doing something ridiculous.
He's
going to
have multiple of those with Rojo, I can tell you that, because that defense is terrible.
Well, I mean, you know, Otamendi, Coates, there are a lot of different players that need to step it up, but it's not like we've seen every final with the two best teams in the tournament, so... All right, well, let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we got a bunch of quick segments that we'll run through shortly. right, guys, we're back, and the countdown is beginning. As we are preparing for the World Cup, our fearless leader is meeting with North Korea. So there's a lot going on this week, including Nathaniel Chalobah meeting up with Daniel Sturridge. Out in what, Vegas or L.A.?
Look like L.A. Miami.
It's Miami. Okay. I have confirmation that he's in Miami right now. So y'all want to make a trip? We can do it.
I mean, Shay,
I saw those videos. I'm down.
Shay's going to cancel his boring group trip. Boring group stage trip at the World Cup.
Shay would rather go hang out with people who couldn't make their World Cup squad. No offense, Nate. I think
I'm trying to text him to D.C., you know, make a little trip. We'll see.
No, please. I mean, please tell him to come to D.C. I mean, we would.
No, I'm going to go to Miami. Let's go visit him in Miami. Why do you want him to come here?
Well,
Miami.
I mean, no.
Hang out with Daniel Sturridge.
Look,
Shay,
clearly you're missing the whole etiquette thing of life because you don't just crash somebody's party. If we're inviting him to DC, then we're hosting him. You know, there's a difference. He's not inviting us to Miami.
I already lived my life. I want to live his life. Let's go to Miami.
But good to see that Sturridge can stand on two legs right now. You know, shout out to him. Anyways, Peter, you want to talk us through these commercials?
Yeah, guys. So one of my favorite things, you know, coming into any World Cup is the excellent content we get for, you know, especially with like Nike and Adidas commercials. So, you know, I just want to run through and see what you guys' favorite commercial in World Cup history was. Mine was the 2002 Nike Secret Tournament ad with Eric Cantona hosting in the
fire.
Like 3v3, they're in this like cage and they're all playing 3v3, and you know, this had, you know, guys like Edgar Davids, Thierry Henry.
Is that the one where Henry hit the like backspin from behind the goal?
No, that's Joga Bonito. Talking about the Nike Death Cage.
No, Henry hit in that game. Great. He hit a shot that backspins in the goal.
And then at the end, like the ball like drops down from the top, and
it's got the Elvis music playing.
Yeah, Tonti pretends to tie his shoe, and Ronaldo or Henry steps on his back and heads it in to like win.
Yeah,
it was hilarious. But yeah, that was mine. Anyone else?
Mine's from I think it's the last World Cup, the car commercial where like they end up getting like a minivan because they have so many kids. Like every time Spain scores, or it's like they meet at a fan park. Do you guys remember that one?
No,
it's a car commercial. Yeah, I think it was Hyundai. I thought that was very funny.
I mean, guys, was it World Cup the one where? Rooney comes out of that trailer and it's like what would have been, and he's all
playing.
Oh,
yeah, that's good.
That one's pretty great.
Wow, that was good.
That's going to be him in D.C., though.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
Wow, that was a good one. Good call.
I think you guys kind of stole the show with the commercials, but this just reminded me of, do you guys remember last World Cup when that one guy decided, this guy from Seattle decided to dribble a ball all the way down to Rio? Like he was like, I'm gonna leave my house and dribble a soccer ball all the way down to Rio.
Did he do it?
No, he got hit by a car in Oregon and died.
Wait, what?
That's horrible. Why are you laughing?
I'm just saying it's terrible. Just idiotic that he decided to dribble and all the way down to Rio. Hopefully nobody's thinking to do that to Russia. That's all I'm saying.
That's horrible.
Although, wait, hold on. Before we move on, I think the best commercial ever is that Brazil squad in the airport.
That's good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's 98.
That's insane. Yeah,
They did a redo of it for the Brazil, like the official Brazil commercial this time that has like Ronaldo missing the penalty again
in
the airport. This time, just a little more plump and shapely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. That, I think, was that the real start of World Cup commercials?
That's as far as we know. Yeah.
Because 98 was also the genesis of Ronaldo was so hot. That Brazil team was so hot.
No,
so
because there's that whole England song that John Barnes did back in like the 80s.
That's right. Yeah. The John Barnes rap.
and beyond. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, this is becoming a big thing, and now we're seeing it on Instagram and Twitter and all those things as well. So we'll be sure to post. Post on our website on acrossthepond.co that shows, you know, some of the best commercials. Guys, we mentioned it earlier, but U.S. men's national team draws France 1-1. Big deal, little deal. We over it?
What's next on the topic, Doc?
Yeah. Yes. Big deal. Yes.
Done. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Big deal.
I mean,
Lloris. That's a horrible goal to concede. It took a deflection near post.
Talk about stock falling. This World Cup might be the guy who.
Well, I think Lloris is maybe already peaked. But
I mean, anyway, he could get sent out of that Tottenham team. You know, he could bring in another keeper.
One Brad thing Friedel, bring back Brad Friedel.
One thing I will say is that the kid, I only saw him play, I've only heard about him recently, Anthony Robinson. He's playing left back. He's English American, and he was on loan at Bolton, but he's an Everton product. And with Leighton Baines, who's like 35, I mean, he looked really solid. Maybe he good. Gets, maybe, you know, we see him in the Premier League. You know, there were a couple young American players that, you know, that are with Premier League teams, him, Matt Miazga, obviously Aloni at Chelsea,
good,
Tim
really
Carter
good.
Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Stefan looked really good, the goalkeeper. He's so tall. This double save at the end there was really nice.
It's really refreshing to see this new cast of players for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just so glad I'm not just looking out at Brad Guzan and Howard in net every game.
Romando, who had the worst error I've ever seen against Laton this weekend. Yeah, it is a big deal. And I know I corresponded back and forth with some fans on Twitter saying it's really nothing. You know, this is just minnows, just World Cup games. But what a horrible send-off to have before the World Cup, where so much pressure and expectations on you. Someone like Pogba, who I think is a serial try-too-harder, if that makes sense, you know, a serial hustler, but over-hustles. And that can sort of be the undoing with that type of pressure. So Capitals won the World Cup. Capitals won the Stanley Cup last week in Washington, D.C., and Chris Shea and I were out, and leading to some witty banter, and it kind of led me, you know, we were throwing a lot of shade at Nigeria, and Chris was trying to rep Jamaica.
I mean, 2022.
And a lot of things are coming up. So 2022, we'll also find out this week, right, if the U.S. won its bid. Is it this week?
They have the meeting. Yeah. They have, like, the summit.
Wednesday.
So, yeah,
Wednesday. So get your nasty ass fucking feet off me, dude. Keep your feet away from me. It's gross. Don't touch me with your feet.
I'm keeping that
keep
on the show.
Keep your feet away. Shay, come on, man.
All right. Please continue. Please continue.
So we're talking about what's more likely to happen. I wanted to kind of pull the group here. So I got a couple ones for you. What's more likely to happen? Jamaica makes it to a World Cup quarterfinal. China wins the World Cup.
Oh, my God.
What? That's kind of, obviously Jacob. Jamaica. Obviously,
Peter, thank you.
Not obviously.
Thank you.
Do you know how
respect,
much money
Peter.
Investment.
No, I agree
she
with
She is
Jacob,
putting
actually.
Into that country.
Wait, no, Jacob didn't give an answer yet.
Yeah.
Wait, no, mine was obviously
He posed
China.
The question.
I said China.
Okay.
Jamaica semifinals or China?
Quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals.
No, Jamaica then.
No, Jamaica can't keep any of its talent. Remember we talked about it.
It's
3-2. They got a brain drain.
No, it's not true. Leon Bailey, Ravel Morrison, they're bringing in better recruitment.
Ravel Morrison.
They're being better. I mean, look, it's 3-2 right now on the show. Luckily, we have a definitive vote next.
Okay, what's more likely? Panama make it out of the group stage or Costa Rica make it out of the group stage?
Costa Rica. Costa Rica again? Brazil. They're in Brazil, Serbia.
Switzerland.
And Panama's with England and Belgium.
I mean, Costa Rica have the experience that Panama doesn't have. So neither's going to happen, but Panama. I mean, Costa Rica, I could see.
I disagree.
Plus they got a good keeper.
I say Panama makes it. I mean, at this point, I'm outnumbered, but I think Panama. I mean, we are talking about two teams in England and Belgium that could both choke real hard at the World Cup.
Costa Rica has
definitely.
Experience.
That's definitely
a good team. Like that's something you can see. Like they can squeeze their way in because the other teams struggle with each other, right? Panama's a team that everyone's going to beat up on.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Belgium have Roberto Martinez managing them, and I don't think
anything can happen.
I don't think he knows how to coach defenders, so, like, you know.
What's more likely to happen? An African team wins the World Cup in our lifetime, China qualify for the World Cup. I'm trying to pare it down.
I think it's China qualifying for the World Cup.
Yeah. Come on.
Their division, I think, you know, in 20 years time.
Well, if they expand
12 years time.
To,
yeah, 12 years
48,
time. Yeah, that's kind of the gimme there, I guess.
Russia, I think, could finish dead last. What's more likely?
You know,
Russia finishes dead last out of all teams in the entire World Cup and, you know, nope in terms of points and goal differential.
Just all
or,
zeros.
Or Russia make it out of the group.
Russia make it out the group.
Yeah. You know, Jacob, I was thinking about this because I thought Russia was going to be terrible. But then I was watching that documentary about the Russian doping for the Olympics. And then,
they're strapped up. They're ready to go.
Putin is probably saying, you guys better fucking do well this World Cup. You know, I bet they're actually a secret dark horse just calling the pressure on them.
Funny thing is, Putin's not much of a soccer player or into soccer. I think, he's much, I'm sure he'll attend some of the games, but he's a hockey guy.
Yeah.
And you remember, USA finished dead last in World Cup 98. So there is a dead last team.
But they play Saudi Arabia.
Two or three like decent players on Russia. You know, Golovin from CSKA Moscow and Fedor Smolov, the forward. But from what I've heard and from what I've read, the journalists that know a lot more than us who follow the Russian team say that this is the worst inclination of the Russia team in history. So I just don't see them making out of that group either.
Yeah, but they have a really bad group, though. In terms of like their potential to make it than other teams?
Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Uruguay.
Well, I watch Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia are actually good in possession. They just have no idea once they get the ball in the attacking third.
Whenever you
do
say no idea about a team, you know that's just bad news.
No, they are competent in possession in terms of knocking the ball around the back, much better than in possession than England are. They just have no idea how to create an end product. It was pretty painful to watch them play the other day.
Isn't that the opening game, Russia, Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia team.
Else if you're talking about human rights and shit.
Well, actually, you know, speaking of former players from this area, Rodney Wallace from the from Maryland, local high school.
Yeah, he went to Bullis.
Went to Bullis, Shay and I, hometown area, and former DC United player. So very interesting.
Where's he playing?
Costa Rica.
Ah. All right, guys. I mean, we're in the home stretch. The tournament's just around the corner. So, Shay, best of luck in Russia. Hope you come back alive.
Don't say that.
I hope you come back with arches in your feet. That's what the mafia would pay you back with. Come back with.
Well, guys, you know, this is a homecoming for me. It all starts. Hopefully, not where it ends. It all starts. So, we'll
see me in hopefully it doesn't end where it starts. I think.
Exactly.
Hopefully, it starts where it ends. It's a boring World Cup.
Any last words, guys? Because we're all going to be glued to TVs for the next month.
Yeah, join us down at the Across the Pond Watering Hole in Washington, D.C., Ivy and Coney.
We'll be at Ivy and Coney. We'll have plenty of events that we'll tweet about.
Right.
And again, you can follow us on Twitter at ATP Radio, at AcrossThePond.co, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. And you will hear from us next week.
Bye.
Bye.